All right, so today we will talk about apostolic prayers, and there will also be a time for individual reflection in the end. So the sermon will be a bit shorter than usual, so that we have some time to personally reflect and hear what God wants to say to us, maybe as a group, but definitely to us personally as well. So, you know, we are in a series on prayer. Prayer is for God's glory, not primarily about what we want, but it's for God's glory. And as our prayer pastor used to say, prayer is telling God what he tells us to tell him. It's about praying God's will. It's about doing what God tells us. And it's about praying the prayers that God wants us to pray. On Easter Sunday, we looked at the power of prayer. All authority has been given to Jesus, and he shares the power with us. We have to meet the conditions, like praying for God's glory, praying God's will, living holy lives, all these things. But Jesus said, if we meet these conditions, nothing is impossible to us. God is not withholding from us, as some people think, but the question is, are we meeting the conditions? And if we do, we know that all power that has been given to Jesus is also available to us. Last week we looked at the road to Emmaus. There were two disciples. They talked with Jesus. They had fellowshiped with him. But they still felt defeated. They still felt lost. They still felt like this was the end of the road for them personally. So there was nothing. Their lives, they were in Jesus' presence, but they were still not able to share in the victory that Jesus offered to them until Jesus revealed himself to them, and then their lives were transformed. And the application for us was, yeah, we can be the same, we can be religious, we can do all the right things, we can do everything we know we ought to do, but that by itself will not give us the power, will not give us the victory that Jesus offers us. Being with Jesus is not enough. We don't need to try harder to be a better Christian. What we need is a personal revelation. What we need is a kind of personal encounter like what these disciples had. We need a supernatural revelation of Jesus' presence, of who Jesus is, his power, his authority, and just having this kind of supernatural encounter. And that's what will change our lives. And then we will be transformed just like these two disciples. Now today's focus is apostolic prayers. Like I said, it will be a bit of shorter sermon so that we have some time for reflection and prayer in the end. Next week we will then do part two. So look at some more of these apostolic prayers. So it will be a similar format. So that's the plan for these 2 weeks. Let's start with a struggle that we all have. We want to pray God's will. And we want to pray prayers according to God's will. But let's be honest, sometimes we are simply not sure. You know that I'm currently looking for a new project, that I've been out of project for the last 3 months. Several times I felt like God was telling me, this is it. And I prayed accordingly, and I acted accordingly, and then in the end, I didn't get the project that I thought was from God. Now, this does not mean that God is not faithful. It simply means I'm human. I make mistakes, I hear wrongly from God. But let's be honest, we all have been in these kind of situations. Maybe we prayed for a job, maybe we prayed for a marriage partner, maybe we prayed for something, and we thought, yeah, God told me this is it, and God will do it. And then in the end, he didn't. And it left us confused. It left us frustrated. It left us wondering, not so, hopefully not wondering about God's faithfulness, but wondering about our ability to discern God's voice, to hear God's voice, and to hear from God what He is truly saying. In situations like the one that I'm facing right now, it can cost us confidence. Not because we don't trust God any longer, but we might question whether we can hear correctly. And that, of course, then also leads to other questions. And I know people whose faith has crumbled because of these kind of situations. And eventually they were so confused, they were so frustrated, they were so like, what's the point if I can't hear from God correctly anyways? And then they gave up on prayer altogether. As a result of such a situation, some people might not pray with confidence any longer. They might say like, well, maybe I made a mistake again. And they lose their confidence in prayer altogether. Or we might try to make something happen in prayer that is not God's will. And we try to focus on something and just try to make something happen that is not God's will. And the more we try, the more we get frustrated and disappointed. We've all have this kind of tension. Maybe it was a season. Maybe we are going through something right now. We know or we think that we are praying God's will, but nothing is happening. And we are wondering, what on earth is going on? And sometimes that can have a lasting impact on us. If we go through this kind of season and we start having doubts a year later, 5 years later, 10 years later, and think, what if I make a mistake again? What if I pray my own will again? What if I pray according to my wishes again? And then it doesn't come true. And then we pray very differently and without the confidence that we are supposed to have in prayer. This is a challenge that we are all facing, and we are all going through a season several times in our lives where we are questioning our ability to hear God's voice and to hear what God wants, what He is saying to us, and how we are supposed to pray. So that's the challenge we are all facing. Now today, I want to give us some hope. Because there are prayers in the Bible that we know for sure they are God's will. There are prayers recorded in the Bible. We know that God's word is unfailable. And so if God wrote a prayer or several prayers in His word, we know that these prayers are according to His will. So we can pray these prayers with confidence because we know that these prayers are God's will. And when we pray these prayers, we know that God will answer them. Of course, we do need to verify the context. Not every word in the Bible is according to God's will. Think about the friends of Job. They are recorded in there, but not because they were God's will, but they are recorded there as a warning to us, saying, hey, they sound very religious, they sound very right, but actually, they were not. The conclusion at the end of the book, they did not speak God's truth. So we need to be a bit careful here that these kind of prayers, that we understand the context of these prayers, and we understand that, for example, Job's friends, they are recorded in the Bible, but they are not God's will. And we can't just take them and think this is what God wants, because it's not. Also, we need to be aware sometimes words are only valid in their specific context. They are absolutely true. They are God's will, but only in that specific context, in that specific environment that they are spoken. And so we have to be careful that we then don't take these kind of words and think like, okay, this is God's will always and forever and in any situation. And we don't realize, okay, they were God's will for that particular situation. But our situation is different. So, yes, there are these kind of exceptions. But if no such exceptions apply, then we can say these prayers recorded in God's word are according to God's will. So we can read how other people prayed, we can take those prayers, and then we can make those prayers our own. We can be confident that they are according to God's will, and we can pray with confidence that God will answer them. So, how can we use these kind of prayers that we will look at in a second? Well, we can take these prayers recorded in God's word and pray them for ourselves and for each other. Understand the original situation, understand what the author is saying, understand the heart's desire behind these prayers, understand God's heart behind it, understand the heart of the people who pray these prayers behind them, and then understand how God's will is done in these prayers. And then we can say, now I make it my own. They are not someone else's prayer. They are not prayers from 2,000 years ago. Now I make it my prayer. And I make this situation, and I make these words that someone else prayed, I make them my own. And if we take these steps correctly, then we know we are praying God's will, we know that God is in it, and we know that God will answer our prayers. Of course, not always immediately. God's timing is different from our own. But when we take these prayers, and when we pray them over ourselves or over other people, over weeks, months, sometimes years, then we know that God will eventually answer. Just to be clear, these prayers are not magic words. It's not about the words. It's not about performance. It's not about saying the right prayers in the right way. It's not about anything like that. But what it does mean is we can take these prayers and personalize it, and then have confidence that God will answer them. Because they are recorded in His Word, and if they are recorded in His Word, then we can have the assurance that God will answer them. So we can ask ourselves questions like, what is God's heart behind these prayers? What is God's desire in this situation? How do these prayers represent God's will? And then take these principles, take these prayers, and then make them our own. And be able to pray with confidence that this is God's will. Let's look at some examples. First, the prayer to know God. Prayed by and recorded by Paul. Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 19. Paul prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. So, what did Paul write here? Well, first of all, he prayed that we would receive, or the people that he prayed for, that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. First of all, that is, of course, a prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And secondly, it was a prayer that asked that the Holy Spirit would reveal who God is. He was saying, I pray for you guys that you will receive this Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you who God is. God's character, God's purpose, God's plan, whatever it might be, but God would speak to you who God is, and the Holy Spirit would reveal to you what God's plan is. The Spirit would reveal to us who is God, God's character, God's hope. God would speak to us that we don't just know about God, but we will hear who God is. So the Spirit of wisdom and revelation is one way in which we can pray for ourselves and for each other. And the verse says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. How often do we try harder? How often do we feel stuck in our faith and what we think is, I need to try harder. I need to pray harder. I need to fast more. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to be more holy. And it's not wrong in itself. But if we think that it depends on our performance, we will be stuck. And we will never be able to reach that kind of intimacy with God that God plans for us. So what do we do instead? That the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. We pray. It's not about how much we study, not about our performance. It's not about how good our brains work. It's all about God revealing God's character to us. And that's a wonderful prayer we can pray for ourselves and for each other. God, show me, show us who you are. Enlighten my spirit. Then there's a part that talks about knowing the hope of his calling. Know what God is offering to us in the future. See all the blessings we have in heaven. See the wonderful blessings that are waiting for us in the future. How often do we pray, but we are not really praying in this knowledge? And all we can see is my problems today. All we can see is the medical report that we got today. All we can see is the stress that we have, the to-do list at work that is way too long, and we don't know how to work it off and how to go about it. And we totally lose sight the hope of his calling. We totally lose sight of the great future that we have. And the things of this world blind us. And so we can go back and say, God, show me again the hope of your glory, of your calling. Show me again of what you're calling me to and what hope comes with that calling. And he says, know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God, show me again of some of the riches that are waiting for me, or maybe that I already have. Show me again what I have in Jesus. Show me again the riches that you have already offered to me. Show me again the blessings that I have today. Not just in the future, important as that is, but show me again what I have today, what you have already given me. And then that we would know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Experience God's power. Understand how powerful God is. Experience God's power towards us, not just head knowledge. Yeah, I believe that God is powerful. I believe that God can do these things. but instead asking for a personal experience. God, show me again your great power. Show me again how great your power is towards me, so that I can live in that power. Not just in my own power, which is very limited, but show me again the great power that you have for me. So this prayer is a prayer of knowing God personally. Not just knowing about God, not just knowing about, okay, God, you did this 2,000 years ago to some other people, but this is a prayer to say, God, make it personal. Show me once again how powerful, how great you are towards me, that I can live in that power. That I will not just live a life in my own power, with my own limits, but instead, I can live in your power every day. So that's the first apostolic prayer. There's another one found in Romans 15. That is a prayer of unity. Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one towards another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we should learn again who God is. And here, God is described as the God of patience and of consolation. No, God's patient. We all mess up all the time. And when we know how patient God is with us, how much he loves us, how much he forgives us, how often he forgives us, then we can see God's patience. And when we see God's patience, then of course our love for God will grow. How often do we think, at least it happens to me, that God is impatient with me? That God is upset with me? That God now has enough of me because I did the same thing 100 times. And yeah, he could bear with me maybe 10 times, 20 times, 50 times. But now that I sin so often, now God, he must be angry with me now. He probably gave up on me. How often do we hear these kind of lies? I do. So we pray for a revelation of God's patience and his consolation. Because it's not about our performance. We tend to treat ourselves according to our performance. But God doesn't treat us according to our performance. He treats us according to his love. Understanding that God shows us much more patience and forgiveness than we deserve. And why does he do that? Because we need to know how patient God is with us. And when we know his patience, then we will know him the way he truly is. So, we pray for a revelation of God's patience and consolation. Then it says, be like-minded one towards another. This is now the community aspect. There's unity. There's mutual understanding. We let go of our pride. We don't have to be right all the time. Instead, we can love each other and we can be there for each other. And how can we become like that? Are we annoying to each other? Yes. Do we frustrate each other? Yes. Do we drive each other crazy? Yes. How can we be loving and patient and forgiving towards each other? It's when we understand how loving and patient and forgiving God is towards us personally. And when we understand that, then we can say, you know what? God has forgiven me so many times. He has been patient with me so many times. He has been loving to me so many times. If this is how God treats me, how can I then hold this against you? So I can forgive you. I can let go of my anger, my frustration towards you, because I know how much God is loving me and has forgiven me. And that is then the next thing that he says, according to Christ Jesus. Christ is our example. We should learn from him. We should become like him. We should get a deeper understanding of how loving and forgiving Jesus is. And when we know how loving and forgiving Jesus is towards us, we will find the resources to love and forgive one another. And then he is praying, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God. If we have this kind of attitude towards each other, we will have unity. And we will have a single focus. We want to glorify God together. Yes, there is sin. You sinned against me, I sinned against you. But we will not allow this sin to stand between us and our goal. And that goal is that we want to bring glory to God together. All these elements together grant us unity. And to get there, we can focus on these sub-elements. Praying to Jesus to grant us unity, learning from Jesus' example, becoming more like him. That we will become more like Jesus, and as we become more like Jesus, we will be more united towards God as well. And then we can pray for strength, Ephesians 3, that he, referring to God, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What does he pray for here? That God would grant according to the riches of his glory. How often do we try to earn something for ourselves that we don't have? But it's God who grants. It's not our performance. It's not something that we can earn. It's not something we can achieve. We can only run to God and say, according to your riches, according to your glory, grant us your request. Then he says, according to the riches of his glory, when we receive a deeper understanding of God's glory and riches, how glorious, how rich he actually is, how much he wants to reveal his glory to us. When we receive all these things, then we receive other things as well. First of all, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of his love. There are so many different aspects of God's love. And so much we know about God's love. But when was the last time we had a true encounter in our hearts? When was the last time we could say, I experienced God's love towards me? I have to admit, that's a few years back for me personally, where we can truly say, I experienced God's love. I know he loves me, not just because the Bible says so, not just because I know about it in my head, but I experienced God's love. Then it says, to know the love that surpasses knowledge. Isn't that a contradiction? How can I know something that surpasses knowledge? Well, what Paul is saying here, it surpasses head knowledge, but we can still experience it in our hearts. And so we can experience love, God's love, in a deeper way, something that cannot be taught, something that cannot be explained, something that cannot just be, I can do here as a sermon, and then everybody's like, yeah, I know about God's love. But that's not the goal. The goal is that we have an experience of God's love. And so we can pray for ourselves and pray for each other that we have this kind of experience with God's love that goes beyond explaining, that goes beyond talking about it, that goes beyond just telling, yeah, God loves you, great, nothing wrong with that. But instead, God brings us to the point where we have the kind of personal experience with his love. And where we can say, you know, I know God loves me, yes, because of John 3:16 and all this, I can point you towards Bible verses, but I have something even better. I've had personal encounters with God's love, and that's how I know that God loves me. And then it says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How many of us can claim, yeah, I know, I'm filled with all the fullness of God? I don't. But it's possible, because this verse tells us so. We can be filled with all the fullness of God. And we can pray for that and ask God to reveal us to us the depth of his love. And then there's another prayer for love, Ephesians 1. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. How often do we think that love is just a feeling? And we think, okay, God, like what this world is trying to tell us, if you're lucky, you meet the right person, and then you feel loved. Sometimes we put that kind of worldly perspective of love unto God, and then we wonder why we don't experience God's love the way the Bible says we can. But here, Paul does give us the elements of love, the steps towards truly experiencing true love. First of all, Paul says, love is meant to increase. We are meant to, we should increase in love for God and love for each other. And how do we do that? We do that in knowledge and judgment. Sometimes we think that love and judgment are opposite, that they are opposites or they are mutually exclusive. And we think something like, okay, so if I love, I don't judge. Here, Paul is telling us something else. Paul is telling us, no, we are to grow in knowledge and in judgment. And that's how we grow in love as well. We should increase in knowledge. We should increase in judgment. And we can pray for this. Then he says that we approve things that are excellent. We see what is excellent in God's eyes. We align ourselves with God. And we approve of what God is doing. And then we will be filled with the fruits of righteousness. We are right in our relationship with God. We receive forgiveness from God. And that, of course, fills us. And that, of course, changes us. And why do we do all this? So that we feel good, so that we have a happy life, so that we live happily ever after? No. Unto the glory and praise of God. Yes, we can receive God's blessings. We can receive His mercy. We can receive His love. But ultimately, it's not about us feeling good. It's not about us having a good life or a happily ever after. It's for God's glory. So what is this prayer all about? We would have love for God, that we would have love for other people, that we would be able to grow in that love, and we do it all for the glory of God. Now we'll stop here today. There are many more prayers, and we'll cover some more in the next week or two. But I hope I gave us all a bit of an understanding of how we can use these apostolic prayers. We use them, apply them to our situations, and then we can pray them for ourselves, and we can pray them for each other as well. So these apostolic prayers are not simply someone else's prayer. Because they are recorded in God's word, we know that they are God's will, and that's why we know that we have a prayer that is according to God's will, and we can pray according to God's will by taking these prayers, adjust them to our situations, and then pray them, knowing that this is God's will. We can personalize them, we can adjust them, but in the end, we take the prayers as they are, and we know that we are praying God's will. We'll leave these prayers that we covered today on the screen so that we can all take a look and maybe get to also read them in our own Bibles. That's not the point. But what I want to encourage all of us today and maybe in the coming days and maybe also for our praying for each other this coming week is that we take one or two of these prayers and we pray these prayers for ourselves. We pray them for each other. And we pray them knowing that this is God's will. And we pray them knowing that when we pray these prayers for ourselves or for each other, God will answer. Maybe not always immediately. We will not just be a total different person tomorrow. But when we have the patience to pray these prayers over weeks and months and maybe years over ourselves and over each other, we know that God will answer because we know that these prayers are according to His will. Father, thank you for being with us and thank you for giving us these prayers. Thank you for recording these prayers in your word and thank you for showing us your heart and what you want us to pray for ourselves and what you want us to pray for each other. So, Father, please help us to really personalize these prayers. Use them for ourselves. Use them for our families. Use them for our colleagues. Use them for our neighbors. Use them for whoever you put on our hearts. And use these prayers to pray for one another. So please speak to us, Lord, today. How these apply to us. how these apply to our prayer lives, also for ourselves and for each other. And give us the faith and the courage to pray these prayers, not just once, not just twice, but pray these prayers many times until we see a change, until we see a breakthrough, and until we see how you are answering these prayers. So speak to us and help us to respond according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take some time meditating on this and see where God leads from here.